Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This programme looks at the career of Klaus Kinski, the explosive Polish actor known for his work with Werner Herzog. I hope you enjoy the show. Who can forget the demonic portrayal of Dracula, the vampire, in Werner Herzog's Nosferatu? Now, this is most people's recollection of Klaus Kinski. He was an iconic Polish actor that Herzog plucked from obscurity in Europe and placed him in mainstream movies. Klaus was born in Poland, in Danzig, in 1926, and his mum was a nurse and his dad was a pharmacist, but he was brought up in Berlin in Germany as a German citizen and got drafted into the German army at the end of the war as a paratrooper, an elite paratrooper in the Luftwaffe, the Air Force. But he was captured by British forces in Holland, and he ended up being taken to England, and he served in a prisoner of war camp in Essex. He had strong features, really clear blue eyes, and a crazed, demented look. And after the war, when he went back to Berlin, he started acting on stage there and got a reputation for unpredictable behaviour and being volatile because he had a ferocious temper. But he did show extreme talent, but it just took a while before he got noticed. And Douglas Sirk noticed him, and he got cast as a Gestapo lieutenant in a film called A Time to Love and A Time to Die in 1958. It's a very, very good film, seen from the other side of the fence, about a German private in the Second World War who gets a furlough to go home, and he returns to Germany, but it's not the same as the one that he left. Now, soon after this, he appeared in a series of films based on Edgar Wallace stories, and they were all directed by a German director called Alfred Wührer, and he appeared in seven of them. And he finally got noticed now properly with this, and he got a flood of work in the 60s. And he said this about all the work that he got: "I choose films with the shortest schedule and the most money." Then in 1967, he got a part in Giuliano Montaldo's film Grand Slam, which starred Edward G. Robinson, who was a professor with a plan to rob a Brazilian diamond company. And he picked a group of specialist criminals, one of which was Klaus Kinski. It's a pretty well-made film and good entertainment value. Great music by Morricone. He made two films in 1968 back to back, and they were worth watching. One was called The Bastard, directed by Duccio Tessari, and Klaus plays one of two brothers who specialise in robbing jewels. Their alcoholic mother is played surprisingly by Rita Hayworth. A great performance by her, and Juliana Gemma plays the other brother. Joan Collins was originally going to play the mother, but she pulled out after disagreements about the billing of the stars, and I'm glad she did, because Rita does a great job. Now, the two brothers, they begin to suspect each other of selling out, and that's where the fun starts.
One day unexpected, he'll stand in your door. A man who's like no one you've seen before.
good, hard and unkind. He'll bring you no laughter or peace of mind.
The other film in 1968 was called The Great Silence, and it's very interesting, claustrophobic, Sergio Corbucci-directed spaghetti western. And in it, Jean-Louis Trintignant, the French actor, plays a mute gunfighter and who protects a woman from a gang of bounty hunters, and they're led by Klaus Kinski. It all takes place in snowbound Utah mountains, and the snow was created with gallons of shaving cream in northern Italy, apparently. Ennio Morricone wrote a great score again. In 1969, he made a film called Double Face, which was directed by Ricardo Freda. And he played a husband in London, and he's grieving over his wife's car accident in which she died. It's a very unusual role for him, but he plays it very well. Film's full of twists, and he delves into London's underground culture that was going on at the time to get to the bottom of his wife's death.
Se guarderai negli occhi miei, se leggerai dentro di me, allora certo capirai tutto il male che hai fatto a me. Dirmi una bugia, non voglio creder più, il gioco è ormai finito, lo vedi, hai vinto tu. Esco dalla tua vita, così come vuoi tu, finita è la partita, non giocherò mai più.
In 1970, he made a film called Only the Cool, directed by Jean Delannoy, and it's an unusual spy film, a spy intrigue set in Paris with fabulous Stéphane Audran and Lily Palmer as well. Klaus excels in this. He's an ice-cold hitman, but he doesn't appear until well into the film. It's well made. Very engaging, and it shows how, interestingly, how spies affect people's personal lives as well as politics.
Thank you.
Now, there's a very interesting background to how Klaus Kinski came to be known to Werner Herzog. When Klaus was a struggling young actor, he'd rented a room in an apartment in Munich where the family of Werner Herzog lived. And Herzog was only 13 at the time, but the behaviour, Klaus's impossible volatile behaviour while he lived with them, left a lasting impression. And so as soon as Herzog got his hands on a film camera, he wanted to work with Klaus Kinski, and they began working together in 1972 in Herzog's groundbreaking film. You've got to call it groundbreaking. It's called Aguirre, Wrath of God, which follows an expedition by some conquistadors, Spanish conquistadors, into the Amazon jungle in the 16th century, and they're in search of El Dorado. Now, it was plagued with problems, this production, from the beginning to the end, and it's an absolute miracle that it was finished. It's a treat worth discovering for sure. He was in Luigi Bazzoni's Footprints on the Moon in 1975, and that's a fantastic mystery concerning a woman played by Florinda Balkan who has dreams of astronauts, and she visits a seaside town where everybody seems to know her. Bazzoni didn't make many films, and this is probably his best work. He creates an alternative reality, riveting, and we're left wondering what's going on until the very end. And then in 1979, Kinski was back working with Herzog again on their second film called Nosferatu, The Vampire. And it's every bit as good as the classic in 1922 by Murnau that it's based on. And Kinski's superb in the title role. Every day it took him 4 hours to get his makeup done every day. Because the ears, every time they took them off, they got destroyed. So they had to be remade every day. So that's a lot of work there. The two of them were working again together on Fitzcarraldo in 1982. And this is the story of an epic journey by a man who wants to build an opera house in the middle of the jungle. They shot it in Peru, and the Amahuaca Indians, they attacked their camp regularly. And one man in the team, in the shooting party, survived an arrow through his throat, and his wife required 8 hours of surgery for a wound that she received. There was a logger, got a snake bite, and he cut his own foot off to prevent the venom from spreading. An amazing story behind it, and the shoot was documented in a film called Burden of Dreams, which is just as interesting to watch as the film Fitzcarraldo. a steamship weighing 365 tons was hauled over a mountain, and it still remains there. They just left it there. Jack Nicholson was going to play the lead part, but the producers couldn't afford his $5 million that he wanted for the part. And then Jason Robards stepped in, and then he got ill after 6 weeks of filming, and Klaus stepped in as a replacement for him. Mick Jagger began the shoot as a member of the cast, but when it was delayed because of Jason Robards' illness, he had to leave for obviously commitments with the Rolling Stones. Werner Herzog and Klaus, they started and finished their fifth film together, and I think it's one of the best. It's called Cobra Verde in 1987, and Cobra Verde is a Brazilian bandit who's sent to West Africa to defend a fort and persuade the local chief to restart his... running of a slave trade. It's adapted from a Bruce Chatwin novel and is well worth watching. Yeah. Klaus had now made three films in the jungle for Werner Herzog, and he had this to say of it, interestingly. The jungle is life itself, 1,000 times more alive than anything you've ever seen. We didn't go there to be part of it. We invaded it. We shaved the jungle and made a stinking camp in the middle of it. Radios blaring. It was disgusting. He found the time to father two daughters, Pola and Nastasia, and both of them have become actresses. He had this to say about Werner Herzog. He's a highly talented guy. He does very good movies, and he's not the sort of person who talks bullshit. He does many, many things right. But he's also sick, obsessed. He wants to make history, not movies. Anyone who wants to make history is stupid. And it's as if he found himself saying too many nice things, and so he checked himself. So Klaus made 137 films overall in lots of different genres, and there were many duds. But it's worth remembering that two of the films he made were nominated for an Oscar. The first one in 1965, Dr. Zhivago, and more notably, Operation Thunderbolt in 1977, as far as Klaus is concerned. It was based on the hijacking of an Air France jet in Entebbe in 1976. He was outstanding as the terrorist boss, Wilfried Boers. I'm sure you can find other Klaus Kinski movies that are worth watching, but the ones I've mentioned today will get you started. So enjoy your Kinski watching and happy hunting.
Machati ha-layla הם קמו והיכו בקצה העולם כבני רשף חשו הרחיקו להשיב את כבוד האדם אל ארץ עם אל פש שדותיה, אל הכרמל והמדבר, אל עם אשר לא יחשה שאת בניו לא יפקיר לשר, אל ארץ בהריה בוהמת עיר מדור לדור אל ארץ אם לתבורה קשורים בניה בשדותינו רוח שרה ערבה אילמת תרקים אז ראש על אשר שחר לא שר אל ארץ אל פש שדותיה אל הכרמל והמדבר אל עם אשר לא יחשה שאת בניו לא יפקיר לשר אל ארץ היא
כוחותיה נושרות על שדה חמניות שעיצבונה שתי בערב בבגד יומה